Hot damn on the outside.
Hot damn on the outside. Hot damn.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week's Geeks Without God was recorded live at OmegaCon. We talk about education, Tim's trip to Walt Disney World, fearless comedy, and an Australian answers our five questions.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
And welcome to Geeks Without God. It is the latter part of November, but we are recording this podcast live once again at OmegaCon. Hello, five people in the room can sound like so many more than that.
There's a ton of people in here.
I mean, yay.
We had to turn people away because everyone's interested in what we're doing.
Yeah, this is great. This is awesome. So we're having a great time here this weekend. We are still drunk.
Yeah. And now I would dare say I'm drunker.
Tim had one half.
I had like one quarter.
He's drunker than when we started the last
it's
one.
True.
So I've had like four shots of liquor.
So which Molly each shot is actually like two shots of liquor.
Molly has now got the munchies, and she's just got this huge spread of vegetables. I mean, to be fair, she's got one whole thing of vegetables, so that's kind of healthy. Then a lot of chips and a little itty-bitty thing of cheese.
To be fair, go fuck yourself. This is the one weekend I eat junk food.
To be fair, go fuck yourself. Right, I gotta write down that down because that's the name of the episode right now.
All right.
The name of the episode is
what is this, apropos
of nothing? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. I like it.
So I just need to explain what's gonna happen in a geeky kind of way. We're going to record this podcast, and what's going to happen after we record this podcast, so I got to pack all my shit up, and I will be driving home tonight.
Because you love your kid. Loser.
I'll be driving home tonight.
High five, Molly.
Yeah.
So I'll be driving home tonight and then getting on an airplane at 6 in the morning to chaperone a bunch of 12 and 13-year-old kids in Disney World for the rest of the week. Mm-hmm. Because my son's school is sending these kids to Disney World. They do like this. It's actually pretty fucking cool. They do these classes before the parks open. So the kids go into the park. They're doing a class on animation.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I don't know until I get there. I don't know.
Cool.
So they're doing a class on animation. And then they're going to do a class on the oceans at the seas in Epcot Center, which sounds really cool. But here's the thing, and I've been bitching about this a lot this weekend, but you got to understand, as a geek and as a fan of theme parks and thrill rides and stuff like that, I'm pretty pissed. Because here's the thing, they told us what they did last year, and they decided they were going to do different classes this year. Mm. Last year what they did is they did a class about roller coasters. And the class about roller coasters involved going into the Magic Kingdom, learning some things about the physics of roller coasters, and then sending the kids on the Space Mountain ride. And what they did is they send the kids on Space Mountain.
That's the only roller coaster in Magic Kingdom, right?
No, there's three. There's Big Thunder Mountain, and there's Splash Mountain, which is kind of a roller coaster and a flume all at once. But anyway, point is they sent him on Space Mountain, which, you know, is a roller coaster in the dark. You can't see the track.
And it's inside, which is weird.
They sent him on Space Mountain, and then they turned the lights on and sent him on Space Mountain again. That's the most fucking awesome idea ever.
That's amazing.
I don't get to do that. I don't get to do that because they were like, we did that last year. I'm like, I didn't do that last year. I don't want to learn about fucking fish. I want to go on Space Mountain with the lights on. I gotta herd 6, 12, and 13-year-old boys around for an entire week, and I don't get to go on Space Mountain with the lights on. This is the most unfair thing, and I got to leave OmegaCon early to do this shit.
And this is all scouts?
No.
Have you explained
no,
to them that you have to leave
school.
OmegaCon early? Because that's some bullshit.
Yeah, because I tried, and they just, you know, they don't get it. They don't
fucking Disney.
Well, you know, but I got to say, Alex's science teacher is actually pretty cool. He's Alex's science teacher from last year, and when we went to meet him at parent-teacher conferences, he comes up to me, he's like, so your email address, PetSnakeReggie? I'm like, yeah. He's like, that's a Raiders of the Lost Ark reference, isn't it?
And
I'm
fantastic.
Like, coolest teacher ever. Yes.
Awesome.
This guy can do no wrong in my book. So
is this the one that you had the evolution conversation
no,
with?
No, that's a different
I was going to say, I almost just said too bad because he raped your kid. But then I realized that if that came true, I'd feel so bad.
Wow.
Oh, is Did
Drug Molly is Dark Molly.
Did we talk about that teacher, the parent teacher?
No, I don't think you brought that up.
Because yeah, we went into
which kid's teacher?
It was Alex's teacher. It was this year. He's got life science.
Is he in 7th grade or 6th?
He's in 7th grade. Okay. He's got life science, and of course, we feel pretty strongly about evolution and the fact that there better not.
Oh, you feel strongly by fact?
Yeah. Then there better not be any fucking creationism teaching going on in our son's school. So we talked to the teacher about it. We introduced ourselves to her. And we said, you know, we just want to know, because it's life science, we want to know what you're going to be talking about as far as evolution and as far as creationism. Because, and we said really clearly, because we don't believe you should be teaching him creationism.
Mm-hmm.
Not in science.
And her answer was troubling, to say the least. It wasn't. She didn't. What the fuck is with you people opening pop cans? All right, so what I'm talking about is important here.
To be
all
fair,
right.
Those are beers.
Oh, sorry, beer cans.
It's a MegaCon. Beers have a pass. All
right, so. And now we got.
I also have a beverage.
And so now we got shot glasses coming across the table again.
Tim, do you need another subsonic screwdriver?
I do not need another subsonic screwdriver. So we asked her about creationism. And she said, basically, well, you know, we don't spend a lot of time on evolution. When we do spend some time on evolution, all I really say is, this is what the state standard says we
have to teach you. Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah, this is what the state standard says we have to teach you. There are other theories out there, but we're not going to talk about that. And I'm like, okay, wait, the other things that are out there aren't theories.
Did you tell kids something's forbidden because that won't make them want to learn about it, you assholes?
So, you know, do I know that this lady is a creationist? No, she probably isn't. She's just so fucking afraid.
She's just a pussy.
Super PC.
And that's the way I think most science teachers are. It's really hammered into them.
It's hard not to because of the school board.
Yeah. And even though they're supposed to teach evolution and just evolution, there's so many parents that are coming at them and saying, you know, you're not going to teach my children about this, quote, theory, unquote, because they don't understand what the fuck the definition of theory means.
Yeah, theory doesn't mean theoretical.
Yeah. It's
hypothetical.
Gravity is a theory.
Right.
And that means...
In this instance, theory means the truth as far as we know it.
Yes.
People have come to conflate...
Evolution is a theory in that it is the truth as far as we know it. It's fucking
true. People have
come
to conflate hypothetical with theoretical.
Right.
In that they think that theoretical means something that may have happened. It's like, well, yes, I mean, in a very technical sense, but like you're looking at the words the wrong way. You're using the wrong kind of...
Right.
Yeah. So...
Yeah. So... Yeah, so that happened, and he's actually with a different science teacher now, and we're hoping that's...
I'm glad.
Was that by request, or just because the year was out?
It was actually by request. We had him move to a different class.
Good for you.
I would.
Yeah.
Under, like, religious persecution.
Did you ask the same question to the new teacher, or has it come up?
We did not get a chance to ask the same question to the new
teacher. Are you going
to?
Like?
Yes. Yeah, we are. When we get a chance to do conferences with her, we're going to ask her the same question, because it's important. I don't want him teaching creationism to my kids in schools.
Molly and I are not.
I don't even want him bringing up creationism.
Exactly.
Yeah. Molly and I are not having kids. We're not.
High five.
That's not a secret or anything. High five. But like, I feel like a lot of when I hear stories about outraged parent, blah blah blah, teacher teaching something I don't like, rawr, it's always something retarded. Like, I don't want my kids being taught sex ed. Or, I don't want my kids learning evolution, or...
You never hear, I don't want my kids learning math or spelling, because that's against...
Well, right,
God.
But like, that would also be stupid. I always hear the stupid stuff. I never hear a parent outraged about something that I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, I agree, that is bullshit. Like you, Tim, like, I don't want my kid learning creationism.
Yeah.
Like, more of that.
I want
to hear more stories about those outraged parents.
I want my kids learning sex ed.
Fuck
I want to teach them about sex too, but I expect them to be taught sex ed in schools, and I don't understand why any parent... The only parents that don't want their kids taught about sex in schools are parents that aren't teaching them about sex at home. And they always use the excuse of, well, I want to be able to talk to my kids about sex.
They're
not talking to their kids about sex.
What they mean is, I want to be able to not talk to my kids about sex and no one else.
Because I don't want my kids to know about sex, because sex is something that
icky.
I really don't want to know about.
In my family, you learn about sex at around between 6 or 7 years old. It's the first time you find out about sex and procreation. And, by my mom's fable is that what I said was, I'm only going to do that with boys that I really like. What Kevin said was, I think I knew that. Fine. What my brother Riley said was, he got really upset. He's Asperger's. He got really upset and he goes, so do you have to put it inside or can it just be next to it? And my mom goes, it has to go inside. He goes, I don't think my wife's going to let me do that. and my dad's like, amen. My mom's like, shut up. Like, we're doing, like, and then Madeline, because Madeline's the snotty, like, youngest child, she was like, I already knew that. Someone on the bus told me. Like, she was super, yeah.
Our rule is if the kids ask about sex, we tell them.
Exactly.
Period. Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's period. If a kid asks about anything, you should always tell them the truth. There's no reason to ever lie to a kid.
Yeah, right.
But mom. I mean,
except about Santa Claus. Anyway,
you can omit. I mean, like, if you think your kid, just if you're just making the judgment that you think they're not ready to learn about certain parts, you can just omit that. You can tell them
that's fine.
What's appropriate for their age.
About where a baby came from. Sure. I mean,
you can get abstract with that shit. You don't have to draw a diagram.
Yeah, you explain it to them at the level that they can understand. And I mean, if you have kids, it's like you can tell when they're glazing over and they don't give a fuck anymore. Right. You know, they ask you, you give them the simplest possible answer for their age level. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'll start working a little more complex. And if it's like, you know, I'm done now, I want to go play a video game, fine.
Yeah.
Go play a video game. That's that's fine. But
if they keep asking, you keep answering.
You never want to dodge your kids.
You don't turn them down and tell them, no, we're going to talk about that.
No, you talk
Why
about
Why would you discourage your kid from asking questions and wanting to learn shit?
Exactly.
I don't understand. And that's when the thing about people not wanting to teach sex ed in schools.
When I was in like fifth grade and my teacher, I was reading a Stephen King book. I was reading It. It's a 900-page book. And the teacher was like, I don't think you should be reading that. Took it away from me and called my mom. And, you know, like, the my mom's answer was, why would you take away a book from a 8-year-old with that many pages? What does it matter what it's about? Everybody's gory. She's reading a 900-page book. What do you care? Like, you're not her mom. You know, she's reading a book. It's like,
I got kind of that same response for Lord of the Rings, because I started reading that when I was, like, 9, 10. I had a teacher say that she thought it was escapism.
Yeah.
And it's fucking fantasy. Like, I'm reading a goddamn fantasy epic.
They should be happy reading.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I don't get that either. So
I'm concerned.
So the other thing that we need to talk about a bit is Fearless Comedy.
Yeah.
Hey, Fearless Comedy Productions,
because that's a new thing that we are partners with.
Yeah. We are the founders. We're three of the nine founders, right?
We are the 9 or 12. I don't know. There's a lot of founders.
It's either 9 or 10.
Somewhere around 10, let's say.
Yeah.
You can go to fearlesscomedyproductions.com and look at the founders. And
our site is live now.
You can count the names for yourself, and then we don't have to do that.
And when it's 9, say, Molly was right in a tweet.
So I feel like, I mean, we're a part of Fearless because we're helping found it, but also Geeks Without God is with Fearless because we try to be funny. The three of us are professional comedians of sorts, and
wow, yeah, you really sold it high there.
But sometimes when people hear professional comedian, they automatically assume stand up, and that's none of us does stand up, but we all do. We professionally do comedy, so
I'm funny a lot. For money.
She tries. But we also, I mean, we feel like we're godless comedy, we're geeky comedy, but we all like to say cunt, and we don't really feel like there's many boundaries for comedy within.
Yeah, it's true. That I feel like
philosophically it fits with us.
Philosophically, I mean, sure, there are topics that I try to stay away from in my comedy just because I feel it's really hard to make certain topics funny.
Some things are riskier than others.
Yeah, but
nothing's off limits.
My general philosophy about comedy is the moment you say that something is not okay to say, you're essentially saying everything else you said is okay.
You're saying everything else is less important than the thing that's not okay to make a joke about.
Yeah. So you gotta just be all in or not. At all.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm fearless. Like, starting a theater production company was, I mean, I think we can safely say that was your idea, Tim. And you got all of us. It was everyone who is a partner does Ville.
Yes.
We are all Ville people.
Yes. So far, everyone.
Yeah, no one else can be a founder. So we were all
Ville. Everybody was a founder.
Everyone who was a founder was in Ville. And you had this idea to start a comedy company because you're not busy enough.
Yeah,
and
so, that's why.
And so now we're expanding and doing a lot of we have a lot of co-partnerships right now.
Yep.
With the Dirty Curls and Young Notions.
Yep.
And us and Vilification Tennis.
And Apropos of Nothing. And the Dregs.
And again, if you go to if you go to Fearless Comedy Productions, you can see all of these partners' websites.
So you can find all the information.
I think what you were saying about what some things are. Nothing's off limit.
Yeah.
Like, an example of that is Vilification Tennis, which all the three of us are in, at Renaissance Festival versus at Brent Lake Bowl. At the Renaissance Festival, we can't tell, like, pedophile jokes, for example.
There are limits.
So you can say, like, you can accuse someone of being a small-dicked mass murderer who beats his wife, likes American beer,
and
guzzles donkey cum. That's okay.
As long as you're using innuendo.
But you can't call him a pedophile.
Yeah.
Because...
Even with innuendo.
Yeah, you can't say donkey cum, you can say donkey semen.
The donkey can't be underage.
Right.
Is the point.
So there's... The second you see can't tell pedophile jokes, it's like, but we're saying this person is despicable, and you're telling us that we can't say that pedophiles are despicable.
Yeah.
Pedophiles are despicable. You don't want to be a pedophile. That's bad.
That's an example of comedy not being fearless and having limits.
And I'm going to disagree a little bit about that. I think fearless comedy isn't just about limitless comedy. It's about taking chances and doing things that make you uncomfortable.
Sure.
I don't mean it all has to be blue.
Yeah.
I'm just saying you shouldn't be able to... I feel like to say you can't say this means that even if you don't say it, the fact that you could... is still on the table.
Right, right.
Like, for a Fringe show, if you wanted to go out and just say cunt and
for an hour.
And be naked,
yep.
I mean, you could.
You could totally do that.
In the name of art.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You couldn't do that on the Bear stage at noon. That's not happening.
Right.
No matter how artistically important you can convince them.
And like you're saying, it's not just about being able to say cunt or fuck or whatever.
It's the limits being there or not.
And it's about, to me, it's also about trying stuff that is outside. There,
but
you guys.
These drinks are so drunk.
You guys, your livers are both going to be dead in a week. So
I'll be up at 9.
We'd have to stay alive for children.
So
when we die, we're dead.
So for instance, one of the things we're doing, in addition to doing partnerships with other performers that we already know, we're also doing some of our own theater. So one of the things that I'm doing is something called Big Fun Radio Fun Time, which is a radio show where I'm getting a bunch of comedy writers to write radio scripts that will perform live and then put it sort of...
You want to be in on that sometime.
Yeah, you'll be definitely...
As rotating guests or something.
You'll definitely be in on it.
And if you need props for that.
And that, to me, is not something I've written before. And when I talk about fearless comedy, when I'm writing shows for, like, the Fringe Festival or something like that, I'm trying to write something I haven't written before. So, a couple of years ago, I did a kid show just because I'm so used to doing blue humor. I really wanted to know, can I actually write a show
for
kids? Are they enjoyed by adults or adults and kids?
I wanted to write a show that adults would enjoy.
But the kids could.
The Pixar sweet spot?
Yeah, the Pixar sweet spot. And I don't know if we reached it or not, but I think we did pretty well.
I don't know if I can do that. Well, it's challenging.
It is challenging, but you don't know unless you just sit down and do it.
Sure.
And that's part
because the Pixar sweet spot has to be a little bit intelligent enough for adults, but at the same time, dumb enough for kids.
Well,
same time.
You can't underestimate your child audience if you dumb it down for kids.
Yeah. No.
That's,
not dumbed down, dumb.
Right.
As it just,
easier to comprehend.
There we go.
Yeah.
More accessible.
Right.
Language that's a little more accessible, but
a poop joke. It's always
Okay, so like WALL-E. WALL-E didn't have poop jokes. It was incredibly heartfelt.
It had garbage cube being pooped out the butt jokes.
I think. I think you're right.
The robot pooped out a garbage cube,
Fair. I've been knighted. All right, that's fine.
The garbage cube comes out the front.
It's still a poop joke.
I seem to remember.
Show me a single human that poops out the front.
All right.
Hold on.
Listening audience. Does WALL-E have a poop joke? Please, give us a citation.
Yes or no. If you can prove he doesn't, I want to hear.
Yeah. Take a screenshot.
I'm not seeing it.
No. Hold on. If an audience member can prove the absence of something,
Wait. What are we betting on here? Let's bet and then have the audience.
No, but I'm not going to bet on whether or not. robot pushing garbage out the front of an
No, no, not the front.
The argument is, does it only come out the front or does it also come out the back?
No, no, no. Okay. No, no, no. Even even more simple than that.
Yeah.
Does Wally have an obvious poop joke?
Do where you the robot think it's a poop pooping? Joke?
No, no, not coming out the front. Is there a poop joke?
Is there a poop joke?
I'm going to say no. You say yes.
I say yes. Tim says no.
And I say I don't remember if there's a poop joke.
Tim, you can't be on the fence. Pick a side.
No, there's already. No, I'm the arbiter of this.
Tim, no, no. Tim and me are on the same side.
No, no. Tim's the arbiter of whether or not it's a poop joke.
I'm going to go home and I'm going to watch Wally myself.
He gets to define whether or not it's a poop joke. I say
watch
yes.
Watch down a plane,
I say no poop joke. You say yes. So, Molly, what are we betting? What are we betting?
We're betting, what can I do that's ridiculous?
I get to pick something ridiculous
you
that you're
going
to do?
Yeah, you could. Nick, okay, Nick, if you're right, you can pick something ridiculous I do. And if I'm right, I pick something ridiculous you do.
Is this something that happens on the podcast?
It happens with pictures.
Okay.
And we'll put them, and also it could happen on the podcast.
You know, there's that saying, like promises, to teach you from making promises when you're drunk that you don't follow through on, you when you're sober, you make sure to follow through on.
Yeah, bring it.
So I'm going to say yes because.
Now, it's a little bit subjective. Does Wally have a poop joke? So now, what
Tim is going to define whether or not it's a poop joke as the arbiter who has no.
And all I'm going to say is. Garbage coming out of the front of a robot is not a poop joke.
That's fine.
All right.
That's not the question. The question is, watch the whole movie. Regardless of what happens, would you consider that movie to have a poop joke?
All right, we'll talk.
If the answer is yes, I do something ridiculous
Jesus
at Molly's
Christ,
request.
Jesus Christ, Tim, it's an easy question.
If the answer is no, I get to make Molly do something ridiculous.
If I'm the arbiter, I've got to understand
the parameters.
Pictures.
All right,
the parameters are poop joke, yes, no.
All right. A gentleman's agreement.
All right.
Huzzah.
All right.
All right. We're going to have to make sure that we post the pictures on the internet.
Yeah.
Melissa
it's going to happen.
Probably video.
Melissa has her hand up.
Yeah.
I Googled Wally and poop joke in quotes.
Yes.
So I did not turn up a poop joke in Wally on Google.
Oh,
but
no.
There is apparently a poop joke in Cars 2.
Okay, we are not talking Cars 2.
So we know Pixar.
But I'm saying, of all the things, all the millions and millions of websites I searched on Google.
We've established that Pixar's not above a poop joke.
But I still think, since we've made the bet, I have to watch Wally.
I agree.
And then we'll go from there.
Sure.
All right.
So,
we can do it as an episode, maybe.
In upcoming episodes.
Because this is going to come as a shock to a lot of people, but I just have to say the internet has been wrong before.
Also a shock to people. Tim likes to follow the rules, and we'll be a good arbiter.
That's true.
He's like
true.
Me.
All right.
You can't trust that Nick.
I am going to say, though, if there is any unfairness... If there were to be, I'm not saying there will be, but if there were to be, it would be in Molly's favor.
Hold on.
You would not. No, I did
no.
not. I'm
going to say Tim would probably prefer to see me do something ridiculous than Molly
do something
ridiculous.
I agree, but the point is that I'm not just going to skew it in Molly's favor.
No, he can't.
No.
He's not...
I'm not accusing you of any sort of unethical.
Not all of us can be dishonest liars, Nick.
I felt a little bit accused, but you know what? I'm not afraid of being accused.
We shall overcome.
See how he brought it back to being fearless there?
We shall.
Okay.
See how I segued back into fearless?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Hey, you know what's cool?
Oh. Yeah.
Molly is helping curate the
silent auction.
The silent auction we're going to have at our Fearless show.
If you are a maker of something, please email me at molly@geekstuggod.com and tell me what you're willing to make and donate to our auction.
Oh,
please,
that's fun.
We've got some really cool shit.
We will get mad props all up and down this bitch.
One of the things that will be in our launch party is on January 12th at the Amsterdam in St. Paul. So if you're listening and you're local to us, please come out to the launch party. We are going to do a live podcast there with Eric McEwen from the Mustache Rangers.
And
hilarious.
And the thing is, even if you don't make physical things, if you are a massage therapist, a hairstylist, if you have a craft or an art,
we could put that on our silent auction and raise money for our
production
company.
And I'll let you know if I think we can have something from it.
So please
email me.
One of the things we'll have in the silent auction is an opportunity to be a guest on our podcast.
Yeah.
You can come and bid to be a guest. And we'll also have... In conjunction with that, apropos of nothing, our friends who do a podcast, Matt has been on this podcast.
We're
going to
do a crossover with them soon.
We're going to do a crossover with them in January. We're going to sit down. We're going to record with them. The three will be on their podcast, and then the three of them are going to be on our podcast, which is going to be the first time we've ever had a Christian.
I think Salsa and Matt are both
atheists
or non-believers.
And
Jenna is a theist.
She's the right kind of Christian. She says Christian.
She says Christian. I would define her as theist.
She's
maybe.
More of a theist, but the point
she
is,
she believes in Jesus
first...
and his divinity.
You know what? You know, she's rational.
No, you can't equate Christian with irrational. Literally, the definition of are you a Christian or not is do you believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ?
Right.
Yes or no? It's a binary question.
But I mean, she's a very agreeable person.
That's fine.
Yeah. The point is, she's the first Christian we're going to have.
Matt is my partner at Renaissance Festival, and then Jenna and Salsa are partners. So if you've been at Renaissance Festival, you're wondering who they are. Yes, they're gypsy trash. So if you've seen, yes.
It's going to be cool. So before we do that, before we go to five questions, we're going to do answers to five questions from an Australian listener, which is really cool. But before we do that, I have to say this. I'm not going to do any spoilers. It's been a couple of weeks, though, so I feel that I have the opportunity to say motherfucking Skyfall is fucking awesome, and you guys have to go.
Okay.
It hasn't
now,
been a couple of weeks.
Hang on.
It's been 2 days.
We're recording
day.
This on the Saturday after it came
plays.
Out, so Tim can go fuck himself.
But if I say we haven't seen it yet, now we look like assholes because now people think we haven't seen Skyfall.
You know what? Okay.
Weeks,
here's what I heard from Eric, from Pedantic Eric. Right. I heard better than the second one. Better than Quantum of Solace.
Yes, definitely better than Quantum.
But maybe not as good as Casino Royale.
You know what? I need to see it again.
Casino Royale is fucking amazing. And it's probably my favorite Bond film right now, I think. So my expectations for Skyfall are between the two.
Okay. That's probably a good place to place your expectations, although I am having a hard time deciding whether Skyfall is better or worse.
You have to
re-see
Casino
Royale.
Okay.
My expectation is
sweet.
The
that's awesome.
Movie
that's,
of all time.
That's,
my expectation.
No, no, that's
all.
That's incredibly reassuring.
No matter what, it's a fucking strong.
If it makes me think about whether or not it's my favorite Bond movie, they have done an amazing job.
Here's the thing I'm going to say about Skyfall.
I love this
in a non-spoiler fashion. There are characters in that film you care for as much as James Bond.
Oh, fun!
Which is. Really?
I
love that.
Is the new Q good or bad?
I saw him in the trailer.
I
heard it was great.
Anybody else? Who else
new
saw it?
New Q is a hot young guy.
What do you guys
Everyone but me and Molly and one other guy? Fuck. God damn it.
What do you guys think?
Yes.
New Q, yes?
I think New Q, yes.
I saw him in the trailer, the kid with the Jufro-ish thing, right?
But the thing is,
Slight Jufro.
The thing is that.
No, he's the kid from Layer Cake.
Oh, yeah. Right on.
Yeah, what?
Layer
Cake.
Right on.
So, Layer Cake with Daniel Craig, if you haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Who's James Bond? Full fucking circle, bitches!
Oh, damn. Someone get Kevin Bacon in this shit.
I'm drunk.
All right.
I'm going to link to this in the show notes just because it amuses me. I write an article for vilificationtennis.com called The Movie Dick.
What?
And the article that
the
I wrote...
Wait a minute. Tim is the mysterious movie dick.
Oh, my God.
What?
I'm
shit. And Bruce Wayne is Batman? Oh,
none of our handles are revealed on there. Oh, my God, Tim.
So next, you'll be telling me I'm married to Madame Meritrix.
Meritrix.
She answered a little quick over there.
So I wrote an article for the weekend that Skyfall released. It'll be up, and I'll link to it. About,
did you write that today?
No, I wrote it 2 days ago, and it's all about Daniel Craig's ass.
You wrote it before
the entire the entire article is about how James Bond fans agree that Daniel Craig has the best ass of any James Bond. So
sure, yeah, why not?
Yeah. So anyway, check that out if you want to learn more about James Bond. Daniel Craig's ass.
Was Ryan Gosling ever James Bond?
No.
Okay, Ryan Gosling.
You're right. Daniel Craig.
All right, so we're going to go on to five questions. I'm just going to say...
You've been really excited for this one.
Because the dude's from Australia.
No, I'm not...
Hey, every dude from Australia. Apparently, Tim will believe me to blow you with excitement because you're from Australia.
You guys, we've got a fucking listener in Australia. Does that not excite you just a little bit?
It excites me, but I'm not going to suck his dick like you apparently are.
I'm not going to suck his dick either because I don't think it's long enough.
Did Tim Wick of the Dregs just say Australians have small dicks?
You're just insulting Australian. He's going to kick your ass.
He's in Australia and I'm in Minnesota. How long would that be? It'd be a really fucking long
day.
Take
a 17-hour flight and then your ass is kicked.
No, he's going to come for the Mall of America, but he's going to stay to kick your ass.
Tim, I'd stay away from kangaroos if I were you. Racist. Oh.
Ty Hickey.
Is Australian race?
Ty Hickey from Sydney, Australia. These are his answers. He sent these to us about a month and a half ago.
Actually,
about 2 months ago. So we asked for best movie he had seen in the last 30 days. His answer, Ted.
His 30 days.
Which is Seth MacFarlane.
Yes.
Family Mark Guy, Wahlberg. American Dad, and that the whatever the other one.
What does he say?
He talks about the scene with the news anchor screaming, "Look what Jesus did! Look what Jesus did!" It had me laughing harder than anyone else in the cinema.
Now I want to see that movie.
I know, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that movie.
Molly and I love stoner comedies like Pineapple Express and shit. And like, I would describe Shaun of the Dead as a stoner comedy, even zombie stoner rom-com. Zombie.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. So we're connoisseurs of that genre.
I want to see it.
Pineapple Express, Your Highness.
Yeah.
Yeah, Your Highness. Sure. Yeah.
So, am I reading off?
Second question is, what's your favorite atheist character, Ty, from Australia?
He says, and I'm not going to try and do an Australian accent.
Do it.
That would
please,
be
no, try.
Please don't.
No, I'm not going to do it. I can't decide between Brenda Chenoweth from the HBO series 6 Feet Under.
Okay. Yes!
Or Malcolm Reynolds from Firefly. They're both believable and perfect real people, and more importantly, they're not mad scientists in white lab coats.
And so, we've talked about before that some of us feel like Mal is...
Not
necessarily an atheist because he doesn't believe, but an atheist because he's angry at God.
He's
angry. He actually secretly believes in God.
If you're angry
he's
at God, you believe he exists.
Kind of. Hit. And yeah.
He does say, if he's forced to pick one, I'll go with Malcolm, mostly because Brenda practices shiatsu massage, and the skeptic in me hates that about her.
No. Shiatsu might be legit. Reiki is the bullshit. And Reiki is
no.
Reiki is you're not even touching someone. You hover your hands above them and absorb all
shiatsu
the bad.
Shiatsu is massage. I believe shiatsu has as much
shiatsu
value.
Is pressure points. Isn't
more
it?
Value than chiropractic.
Well, or as much as yeah.
Chiropractic
shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
That's
chiropractors are bullshit. So
right.
I think shiatsu massage
is at least as legitimate as
it has a more beneficial effect.
At least as legitimate as
less,
that
more
is,
than
okay. That is, by the way, our second guest vote for Malcolm Reynolds. Although I still question whether he's
I'm really on the fence about it.
All right, Nick, third question.
What's our third question?
Tim has my phone, so I don't fucking know. Your geekiest hobby.
Geekiest hobby says Dungeons and Dragons, specifically Advanced Dungeons and Dragons 2nd Edition.
Oh shit!
None of this
2.5
D20 stuff the kids are into. I like.
Who's talking about FACO?
What's D20?
Two hit armor class zero.
I like my rules unnecessarily convoluted and occasionally nonsensical.
That's hot.
Current character is a level 13 human psionic archer.
See, guys, no wait, hang on.
You guys drunk is rubbing off on me.
You know what? So I'm gonna say I'm sorry, Ty. You had me right up until you said psionic. Psionics are... I hate the way they're done in 2 and 2.5.
Oh, shit.
Like AD&D.
That's happening.
The only implementation of psionics that I've ever...
You listening now.
That I've ever... No, no, it's fine. The only implementation of psionics I've ever seen that I liked in D&D was the way it's handled in 4th edition, where it's handled as move minor standard, and you have psionic boost points. That's the way to do it. Even though 4th edition isn't my favorite edition by any means... That's my favorite implementation of psionics. Everything else has been really fucking like herky jerky.
I actually played AD&D.
If you disagree, please tell me why.
I actually played AD&D first edition.
I don't agree. I don't know. I don't play it.
I played AD&D first edition. I never played with psionics because it just never worked. He also says he also plays Vampire the Eternal Struggle. Currently playing a Ravnos Weenie deck and a Setite Bloat deck.
Oh,
but
sure. Wow, I haven't played TES in so many years. That's a fun game. Card game, CCG.
Yeah. He also said, but Twilight made it hard to admit I like Vampire anywhere, ever.
It's a collectible card game based on like Vampire the Masquerade, the White Wolf, World of Darkness
White
series.
Wolf is now, White Wolf is now PSI, which I deal with Target.
Sure, okay.
Which are all ex-White Wolf people.
Vampire the Eternal Struggle is really fun. Ravnos are like the gypsy vampire kind of. It's whatever. It's really not worth going into.
Fourth question.
So here's
what's
our favorite question. Yeah, our favorite question. Favorite sandwich.
Favorite sandwich.
I know.
All right, here we go. Multigrain bread.
All right.
Pepperoni.
Yes.
Salami.
Yes.
Old English cheese.
Nice.
Capsicum.
Yes.
Onion.
Yes.
Olive and the icing on the cake, mango chutney. Toast the shit out of it, and you'll never be truly satisfied by another sandwich.
So, I would do without onion, but I can see that
that's
good.
Ham,
Miracle Whip, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't. He didn't say for mayonnaise.
Well, I know, but you care about mayonnaise.
I only put Miracle Whip as
if I could substitute the pig for other like hard meats or The beef.
They do beef, salami, and chicken pepperoni. Yeah.
Do you guys like try all these sandwiches? Do you like go and make them?
We do sometimes. Yeah.
Except for
my kids don't eat sandwiches, so I don't make sandwiches.
Well, no, it's
at all,
except for where it's like
it's just
it's like
they eat sandwiches.
Except for when it's been like
a
restaurant in Austin, Texas that we'd have to go visit or something like that. Like
Hacker, fuck you.
Yeah.
Damn, boy. I'm sorry, Hack, your cousin's drunk.
Okay.
I'm drunk, cousin.
Yeah, really drunk. Here's our last question.
What is the most obnoxious thing anyone's ever said to you about your atheism?
Okay, he says, for the first time I found out there was a word for people that don't believe in the Sky Fairy was appropriately in a high school science class. I immediately went, yep, that's me. And the douche sitting in front of me turned around and then said, so, you're a Satan worshiper then? I was so dumbstruck I couldn't even articulate how fucking batshit retarded that was.
Like, he just realized what an atheist was and that he was one for the first time. And he's been one for 20 seconds. And in that 20 seconds, when he has time to, like, respond and verbalize, someone says, fucking Satanist.
No, all
like,
right.
And he realizes how bullshit that is. Like, it happened that fucking fast.
Well, Ty, this is a gift for you. I'm gonna reenact that scene in an Australian accent.
So someone says
you're an atheist, and you're like, yeah, that's me then, right? And then someone
what
else
the
says,
fuck was that?
Fuck you.
That was
and someone else.
Me.
And then someone else says, all right, so yeah, you know, yeah, Satanist, eh? And you're like, no, what? No, that's not Satanist, not at all, right? There you go. That's your gift.
Wow, Ty.
I'm so sorry, Ty.
Thanks for listening up to this point.
Ty, if it makes you feel better, I'm super happy.
Ty stopped listening a long time ago.
He stopped listening. We're sorry about that.
We lost him when I said Boo Psionics. That's when he... Don't worry, Molly. He didn't hear
Ty,
any of that.
I will wrestle a crocodile for you, but I'm afraid of spiders.
Oh, it's just getting worse. It's just getting worse.
So, Ty...
It's not racist. There's crocodiles down there.
Thanks for sending in your answers. If you would like us to read your answers to our five questions on
here... If you'd like us to insult the country you're from and portray it in a stereotypical way...
I will portray the stereotypical shit out of your country. I will do your accent. Just write it in.
All right. So, send an email to Tim, Nick, or Molly at geekswithoutgod.com. Also, of course, you can follow us on Facebook. And again, I'm going to mention Fearless Comedy.
Yes.
FearlessComedyProductions.com. We have that launch party coming up on the 19th of January at the Amsterdam in St. Paul. So if you're local.
12th of January, by the way.
Yeah. 12th of January?
12th of January. You said 19th.
Sorry.
It's January 12th.
And we haven't announced and most of it. A lot of the stuff in the silent auction is super cool. There's gonna be some tickets. There's gonna be some
special stuff.
Really, some stuff you can't buy in stores.
And you can help us by donating super cool shit. So send us
there's
email
some crocheted
that.
Stuff.
Email Molly.
It's really awesome.
Molly,
from a fan.
So
addressing as Lord of the Drink.
Oh man, I'm gonna need that.
I think we've had enough of the Lord of the Drink for one night. Thanks a lot.
I gotta go put the Lord of the Drink to bed.
Oh my God. So drunk.
Thanks to Tim Wick and Jeffrey Brown for our theme song, Geeks Without God.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and look at past podcasts at www.geekswithoutgod.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Everyone loves Drunk Molly. You know who doesn't love Drunk Molly? Sober Molly.